I do not believe in God, but I do believe in the sacred. And I do not believe in much of man's religions, but I do believe in the divine. How can you lie in the forest and not hear it? How can you stand in the ocean and not feel it? How can you be in the presence of love and not know it? I believe that it's not about me, but rather us. As our comprehension grows with each day, each moment, each breath, we slowly move towards the higher understanding. I believe that we each have the divine within us. And although I'm not sure we can ever fully grasp what that means, we can try, we can grow, and we can expand, and we can become more enlightened.
Well, this weekend is our Stewardship Drive kickoff Sunday, and yesterday was our Saturday. Roger and I, as we met to talk about what are we going to share with the folks this year. This is kind of an annual event for us, and we thought it might be good to talk about some of the things that he and I have learned as he's been here as your minister for over 20 years, and I'm going on my fifth year, and we have some unique position here to observe. And so I'll begin by sharing that one of the things that I have learned, and this will be no surprise to you, in fact, it's already been lifted up in the welcome with some folks, is that we are quite an eclectic group. We pride ourselves on it. We are very, very grateful that that is true. Certainly one of the most interesting aspects about our shared life here is our unusually broad theological diversity. It's about as expansive, honestly, as any congregation that Roger and I know of. You will often hear us cite the happy truth from this pulpit that we are indeed Christian Unitarian Universalists joined with Humanist Unitarian Universalists, sitting with Buddhist Unitarian Universalists, working with Pagan Unitarian Universalists, celebrating our Atheist Unitarian Universalists, learning from our Taoist Unitarian Universalists, sharing all of this with the mostly totally uncertain Unitarian Universalists. And everything that one could imagine in between all of those categories. And it's a very beautiful thing. Now, because of that, we're aware that the language that we use, the language that inspires and touches us, is often vastly different for each one of us as well. Words that are deeply meaningful to me and my soul might not be the language that touches you and yours. So we're careful to always try to respect that theological diversity by being inclusive in our language. Now, some of us are quite comfortable with words like God and prayer, miracles, spirit. Others are much more drawn to less ambiguous words like reason and ethics, earth, science. This faith, this fellowship in particular, invites us to explore our own personal beliefs in a constant, ever-evolving, ever-widening way. And toward that end, as you know, we have this year been exploring life's big questions. Each month we've taken a theme and answered one of those big life questions, or not, we didn't answer it actually, we kind of talked about it. And we followed the sermon with a Wellspring evening program on a Wednesday where we took that topic and went further. Now, one of those conversations happened a few weeks back in this very room. We were taking one of Roger's sermons on process theology and talking in a large group about the different faces of God, what the holy, what the sacred, what the divine, what each of us experiences as our own ultimate concern on earth. The following week, that same topic was discussed down in our Oshkosh group on their Wellspring Wednesday. I had the privilege of being at both. And what really struck me was that in both of those settings, without any bit of prompting from the facilitator that was leading the conversation, in both settings, it took about a blink of an eye for the conversation to turn soundly and repeatedly to the word community. Now here, the point of the dialogue was to talk about what we see as ultimacy, the core and the basis of our own spiritual lives. And quite rapidly, it came back to the group, the faith community, this congregation, and what it means to us. here together, side by side with all of our warts and our bumps and our foibles. We look into each other's eyes and we join hands and we join our voices in harmonies together. This is where we experience, many of us, the holy. Here we search our heart's deepest truths and we allow ourselves to grow and to change and to move in new directions. And the experience of being together in community points us back to how each one of us finds our own, our very own individual purpose and meaning in life. How we make sense of that forward-leaning religious impulse of our spirits. That's an exquisite truth that you have taught me. Being a part of this community, I have gotten to experience this with you. Being leaders of this community, Roger and I know that we, although we're moved by it differently, we are both changed beyond measure by the community that we have shared with this Fox Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, this congregation, the relationships that we have with you. In those Wellspring Wednesday conversations, we explored why this place feels different from other places that have good intent. Places like the Rotary Club or Habitat for Humanity, or even why is this different from things we do like our bowling club, where we can have really good, deep relationships with people and we can join in their efforts to do something good in the world. There was an answer that was offered by one woman that particularly touched me. When asked, why is this different from the clubs and organizations or groups that we give our time and our heart's commitment to? She said it was because, for her, she sees that we come here not just to work together to build a better world, although, of course, we do that, not just to learn and expand our minds, although, of course, that too, not just to be renewed in our hearts and our spirits, but we come here, she said, to actively invest ourselves in how others are doing that too. This community is vital to our souls because we come here caring about our own spiritual lives and we care equally about the spiritual lives of others, whatever that may mean, whatever form that takes for the path that they're on. The profound experience of being in community has been a central learning for me over the years that I've spent with you. It is a gift beyond measure, and it continues to really give me hope. You've probably heard me say this from the pulpit before, that it seems to me that if this eclectic group can do this together, if we here in Little Appleton, Wisconsin, can find this space, this sacred space of mutual respect and love, maybe it's possible for it to expand out into the state. Maybe it's possible for it to go into the United States. Maybe it's possible to cross those oceans. Maybe others could also learn to live that beautiful truth that was handed to us by our ancestor, Francis David, who said that the thing about Unitarians, and he was Unitarian, it was before Unitarian Universalists, is that we know that we need not think alike to love alike.
The second thing we've learned is that when it comes to continuing a flourishing spiritual community, there are two traits that are absolutely necessary, and these are flexibility and adaptability. The developments here over these past 5 years, let alone the 20 years I've been here, are nothing short of stunning. When Dottie started as our second minister nearly 5 years ago, we had a little less than 500 members. Now, if over these 5 years we grew at the average rate of Unitarian Universalism in the United States, we could now expect to have 510 members. Most likely, when Dottie finishes her work here at the end of June, we will have over 700 members. It's unbelievable. We will be in the top 20 congregations by size in North America. This growth means that, among other things, we have cross this huge divide between being a middle-sized congregation and a large congregation just in these 5 years. And I'll be honest with you, this growth has kept Dottie and me constantly scrambling. You all do not always make this an easy job. We never get to rest on our laurels for a little while or take an extended breather. Thank God, goddess, luck, the force, whatever. I would not trade the excitement and the challenges for this kind of congregation for a status quo congregation ever. It occurred to me lately as I was thinking about this that when Dottie started, we asked her to focus her ministry on three things: pastoral care, social justice ministry, and young adult campus ministry. This year, she's still in charge of our pastoral care program. I'm overseeing the social justice ministry now. She still has the oversight of young adult campus ministry, but we each have oversight over one of the campus ministries, and it's really our intern ministers who are primarily doing the staff work. And now Dottie's taken on leadership of our adult programming, the Wellspring program, that's all new this year. Neither of us is doing at all what we expected to be doing when we started together 5 years ago in this partnership. We learned early on that we had better be adaptive and flexible if we're going to help the fellowship keep moving forward. This is a huge learning for us as we look ahead to finding a new second minister to replace Dottie. We don't need to spend a lot of time, like we did last time, figuring out what we want that person to do and what skill set then matches that, because the one thing we know is probably that person won't be doing what we think they ought to be doing when we start 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. We need an overall excellent minister, not a particular skill set. We will not be able to get a Dottie clone, but one thing does need to be similar with the person that succeeds her. The new minister also needs to be an excellent minister. Being flexible and adaptive is no doubt also part of what it means for you to be members and friends of the fellowship. This is a requirement, I think, to be part of an ever-growing, changing, evolving community. Nothing static. It isn't easy, but I would guess most of you would not trade what we have here for a status quo congregation where it's all about stagnation and decline. Here's a third learning that we've discovered in these years working together. Two ministers are better than one. And I probably have a deeper appreciation for this than Dottie, because I served here as a solo minister for 15 years. And I cannot tell you how much richer and deeper and more enjoyable and fulfilling and meaningful it is to work side by side with a beloved colleague. I would not trade working with a colleague for a solo ministry. And I certainly don't intend to have that happen next year. The truth underlying this blessing is that we are all in this together. Dottie and I have learned this in our unique role as minister. But it is really larger than that. It's the magic of community that Dottie lifted up a few minutes ago. We invest in each other's spiritual journey. That's an amazing thing. And it creates incredible instant karma. When I help strengthen your spiritual journey, you turn around and help strengthen my spiritual journey. When Doug shares his words and his music, it helps deepen my spirituality. It helps me be a better person. It's reciprocal. And yes, Dottie and I have unique roles here, so the way we work together doesn't maybe look exactly like the way you work with each other together. But underlying all of this is the central truth of a free spiritual community. We are better together. I have a much deeper appreciation for this truth today than even 5 years ago. Our fourth learning is, again, about community. We've come to so deeply appreciate the quality of this community. In spite of our vast theological differences, we have an extraordinary way of being together with one another in this community. This congregation is blessed with boatloads of understanding, compassion, forgiveness, humility, and grace. There's just so much goodwill here, starting, I think, with this basic idea that when we interact with each other, we're going to assume the best about the other person and not the worst. The inclination here is always to approach each other with open hearts, not clenched hearts. We're not a perfect community. That'd be a little boring anyway. We make mistakes. I make mistakes. But we do get along pretty darn well together. And I don't think we do this by papering over our differences or by playing Midwest nice. Instead, I think it's two things that we do well together. We're real with each other, and we're compassionate to each other. These two things help make this what it is. You may not know this, but our fellowship is truly a role model for other UU congregations around the country that are trying to figure out how to be together in a community with diverse beliefs and understandings. This is why in recent months we've had contacts from congregations ranging from Illinois to Texas to New Mexico asking us to share how we go about being a healthy congregation. It is a great blessing.
So we have lots of learnings about what it is to be in community, and I have a final one to share with you. And that is that being a part of a community is far, far, far more than being present at services or meetings or other functions here. All of that, of course, is crucially important, but we also know that it's not always possible. This place, though, even for people that can't be here, leaves a lasting impression on the heart. And even when circumstances take people away from active engagement, those deep impressions and connections remain. Roger and I not infrequently receive emails or calls or visits from folks who have moved away from the fellowship, but yet this place perpetually holds a sacred corner in their heart. And I think of a long list of people, but just to name a few that you might be familiar with, I think of people like Paul Reiser and Sherry Bricko, or Denny and Nola Abraham, or Cindy Steele, Michelle Williams. Some of you may be familiar with those folks. For them and for several others, their lives changed and they took them away geographically, and yet they remain connected and a part of this congregation to whatever degree their changed life permits. I think that's a pretty big deal, that they want to stay tied to us. We have more than a few folks who are not able to attend services for one reason or another. They can't come and participate in activities here, but they are still committed heart and soul to the mission and values of this fellowship. And so they consistently send us their energetic support and very frequently their financial support too, even over the separation of time and miles. My partner Rosie and I feel this deeply and have talked a lot about it of late. You have heard many references to this upcoming and necessary hiatus that she and I will be taking after this summer in order to make space for that new minister to come and get settled in. And even though we won't be actively participating in the life of the fellowship for some indeterminate period of time, we know definitely that the light of this chalice will burn warmly in our hearts unceasingly, and that you, no matter what, will be with us as we will be with you. We will remain thoroughly invested in the beautiful and meaningful work that is being carried on here, even in our physical absence, just like all those other folks that I named earlier and so many others. We will continue to support this place in every feasible way. We have, I can tell you, we have already turned in our pledge card for next year, even though we won't be here. And we will continue to make our capital campaign payments as well. like everyone else, we have family needs, we have unreliable investments, we have many uncertainties in our financial future. But we know that no matter what, this spiritual home holds value for us beyond measure, and that it plays a unique and vital role not only in our lives, but we believe in this entire Fox Valley, that what goes on here impacts our entire region. We want to do everything that we can to make sure that it remains vibrant and stable and healthy and the shining faith community that it is that we all enjoy. You've often heard it said that it takes a village to raise a child, and we believe that. We also know that it takes open, committed individuals to make a community like this. Generosity of spirit takes so many forms. So in whatever ways we are able, we know that it takes each and every one of us to make the magic of this place happen. Roger and I offer you our thanks for all the amazing lessons that we've been able to learn. We both feel so blessed to serve here, to have the privilege of learning with and from you every single day. Amen.